Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Dolls.
Well, we're back again.
Back for two a day. You wouldn't know it, but we do.
We had a little break and then we came back.
We had a break. I popped out to get some Botox from my fucking collarbone to the tip top of my head. And now here I am, radically podcasting, covered in pokes.
I went home and ate a salmon.
Yum.
With corn and asparagus and then came home.
Did you make that?
No.
Where'd you get it from?
Fresh Corn Grill, baby.
Yum.
It was really good.
They do good things over at Fresh Corn Grill.
They're so good.
They're working it.
You know what the best thing ever is? Going to Fresh Corn Grill and getting a Diet Coke.
Fountain?
No, but for some reason, sipping on a giant glass with ice in it and Diet Coke that you pour into it with a can.
Mm.
Just tastes really good there. And they have really good salmon.
I got to re-up my Diet Coke.
It's a healthy
Coke
lunch, right?
Yeah.
I love it. I went home and you know what I watched? I watched the end of Ripley. And I started watching that Scoop.
What's Scoop?
It's this Netflix movie about the Prince Andrew interview.
Oh, a doc?
No, it's like a Gillian Anderson's in it.
She's getting the scoop?
She's getting the scoop.
I can't take Scoop seriously. That's a horrible
name.
Yeah,
but Epstein's already in. I'm like, it's all what I...
Is someone playing Jeffrey Epstein?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
I'm
Mango,
hooked.
Don't lick
hey,
the
don't
couch.
Lick, baby. He likes to lick.
He loves to lick this corner of the couch.
Is that spot, from him? Oh,
spots
shit. I'm sorry.
Where Mango has licked. He's left his...
It's like, you know what? It's like a... I think it's like a...
It's a soothing thing,
soothing
I think.
Thing.
Lick your father.
Lick me instead.
Look how sweet he is.
I know. He's such an angel.
No, but I'm kind of... I want more movies about Epstein.
Yeah.
I'm ready for Rosamund Pike to play Ghislaine.
Ooh. She needs a wig for the ages for a Ghislaine.
Can't you
moment.
See her playing Ghislaine?
Yeah, she's Ghislaine vibes. I rewatched Saltburn on my journey. I have to say I like it.
You said, off to London I go.
I said, you know what? I'm going to revisit this because I was kind of craving it. And I was like, this is a good movie.
Wait, you didn't tell me about your flight home.
I flew in a little thing called First Class.
You don't have to talk about it.
No, I'm fine to talk about it.
How was it?
It was luxurious.
Was it transformative?
It was...
Hillen?
It was Hillen.
Was it long?
It didn't feel so long. I flew at a weird time, so my flight left Heathrow at 11:40, and then I landed here at 2:30 in the afternoon. So yesterday was like the longest day of all time.
You left at 11:40 at night?
A.M.
A.M.
So it's kind of weird when you're not flying overnight. Like I took a nap, but I didn't... I had them make up the bed. That you go, will you make a bed? And they go, yes. And then they lay your seat flat and they put like a little pad on it and give
this
you a
British
comforter.
British Airways. Were they
and
all
the British?
British
ladies take good care of you.
Did you feel like they were like nannies?
They were my nannies.
Oh
my God. And I'd never been in a...
They were Mary Poppins.
They were my fucking nannies. There were two of them. And you have doors that close. So you can close yourself off in your own little lair. And then I was like, I can never travel another way ever again.
So you never flew in tonight?
No, I flew overnight to go to Germany.
But I mean,
it was during the day back.
You were racing
the
sun.
And look at this. In First Class, they have this crest and it says, to fly, to serve. They fucking do serve.
They're serving cunt.
They're serving major cunt.
Did you...
Look at that. All that space.
Wow.
And a big flat screen.
Good for you.
I know.
You were like, why does it have to end?
Yeah, I was like, I could be up here forever.
Was it bumpy?
It was.
Were you scared?
No, but I was on a Boeing. But I was like, if they take me now, this is like, I guess I just go.
Yeah, but
you
I
have
feel
to
like...
let go, let God. Once you're literally 10 feet off the ground, it's fucking curtains for you if anything goes wrong. The second you even set foot in a fucking Boeing airplane, you're playing with fire.
I know. I'm always, every time I'm taking off, I'm like, okay, if I fell out now, I would.
And then you
maybe
get to the point where you're like, we, no survivors, yeah, all souls on board were lost. And then you're just like, okay, fine.
But like, there's like a good 10 seconds where you're like, okay, I think some people could survive still. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, no.
Then you get into absolute no zone.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're lucky, you can just lay flat and fire up Napoleon.
Wow.
I know.
Well, good for you.
You can have a pot of tea.
Bitch. You have a pot of tea to crimpets.
When gifted a first class
ticket.
Listen,
you got to do what you're if you have a,
I am not going to say no to that.
If you have a family member that gifts you, you're like,
I'm like, I'll take it. Yeah. If someone's giving, I'm taking.
Yeah.
When it comes to first class, when it comes to air travel in general, I would take a free ticket just in coach. I'm not above it. I wouldn't love it. I wouldn't talk.
I wouldn't
speak positively about it, but I would take it.
My biggest nightmare flight ever was coming back from a family trip in London over Thanksgiving. And it's when I like blacked out and tried to bring a guy home to my family's Airbnb.
Yeah, that's going to be a rough re-entry.
But on the way back, my brother-in-law had to go travel from London. So my sister flew back with us. So it was just the original four.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like we were
the
kids
O'Donnell
again.
Family.
Taryn and I were like fighting with each other. And we were sitting in like a four row across, like middle row in coach. And it was bumpy as fuck.
Ugh.
And it took 3 extra hours because I had to go over, because it was so turbulent.
3 hour add-on.
It ended up being like a 10-hour flight.
It's a 10-hour flight usually.
No, from London to Philly.
Philly.
It's usually like 7 hours. Yeah. So it was like,
shit.
It was bad. And
I wish they had done that in my journey yesterday.
And my sister asked to change seats
to get away from you.
To get away from me because I was freaking out so much. She went and sat by herself and looked back at me and was like,
I love that.
And I was like, God damn it. It's crazy that when you're with just your original family, you become a child.
Mm-hmm. You revert to your worst self.
Yeah.
And I fucking.
And by P.S., there was an extra. It was right after the Paris terrorist attack.
Okay.
So the security in Europe was like insane. It was like a week after it happened.
Mm.
And so there was security to go to your actual
gate. Wow.
That's how weird it was.
And
so
I was intense about security measures in Heathrow.
Yeah.
They like really are bitches about the toiletries.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
I'm like, you have duty free. Duty
free. Who cares? Like, everything I have is under 3 ounces. I didn't realize they're really strict about putting it in a plastic bag. Like everything that you are toiletrying has to fit in their tiny little plastic bag. And I packed all my toiletries in my carry-on on the way back because I was like, God forbid they lose my bag again because they lost my bag on the way there.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't want to go through that.
No.
And then they flagged my bag, pulled it aside, and they gave me absolute hell. They bloody hell dumped out all my toiletries, and they were like, you have to fit them in this tiny bag. And I was like, well, can he can he also have a bag and put them in? Mike, who was traveling with me, and he was like, well, only if he doesn't have toiletries already. And I go, he doesn't, his bag already came through, it's fine. And he goes, no, we have to scan it again. So they scanned his bag, pulled it out, dumped his 2 toiletries out, and then they said, you have to take his and you have to fit them all in 2 bags. And that's when I said, you can play this troll game. And then I took literally 5 minutes just slowly. I slowly packed up, and then I was like, oh, like it doesn't look like they're fitting. And I poured everything out and then packed it again. And I was like, I'm sure I can make it fit. It will just take me a little while, but I can get it. And then I just slowed down time.
Did they know you were doing that?
I mean, they declared war on me. So when you declare what
they've
I've
done
learned
it
about
once with America,
what I've learned about war from being in Germany is if you start the war comes back to you. And so I said, game on.
But as I was already kind of like, just the security makes me nervous.
I know.
Because I'm always like,
think they're going to like find drugs.
Yeah. Or like somehow I'm
you
going,
really do like start to malfunction in a security line.
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I've witnessed it.
But then I was like, keep calm. Because, you know, it's like, I'm not afraid of a terrorist attack. I'm just the security makes that instills fear in me more than like worrying about, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then I opened up my magazine, my little tabloid. The first word I read is crash. And it was about Gwyneth Paltrow.
For what?
Her skiing incident or something.
Okay.
And
damn, when was this? Like 2017, 2018?
Oh no, maybe it was something else. It was something,
because that was 2015. Yeah, I don't know.
But it was something, and I literally was like, Final Destination.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh my God. These are the signs. That's how much of a narcissist I am. This is happening to me. It's conspiring in me. And then I had to sit, and yeah, it was bad.
My nose starts to get dry now on a long haul flight. Like, my sinuses fully shrivel to nothing. I landed after the first flight, like, on the way to Germany. The next day, I woke up with truly, it was kind of glam, but, like, I stood up out of bed and just started nosebleeding down my face because my sinuses get so wrecked from the dry air.
Did you stay overnight in London?
No.
Oh.
Just a layover. But that, the way they dry you out is, I'm unclear on that.
There's like a whole other climate on the plane.
What's going on? Can they just like we need some humidifiers up in this bitch.
No!
We need some canopy machines up in this bitch.
I know. I want a plane to be like the Rainforest Cafe.
I know. I like got saline solution so I could just blast my nose over the course of the flight, because otherwise it will be Sunday Bloody Sunday.
What if like every so often they announce like rainstorm coming in 5 minutes?
It needs to be like the grocery store.
It just spritzes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you just get like, I'm like mummified at the end of a flight.
I know, I'm shriveled up like a raisin. Fucking California raisin after the flight with a bloody nose.
Sick. Wait, I want to talk about JoJo Siwa.
Okay, what is she up to? I haven't looked into her music, but I have seen her
look. She's doing like a total like rebrand, which is like...
Is it, how much of a rebrand is it though? I mean, it doesn't look like...
Well, she's
in a new era.
She's like being edgy and wearing like...
She looks like one of the lost members of Kiss.
Yeah. Baby, where are you going?
No, don't let him. You need to reel him.
But she came up with a song. And she's like in the video, she's like humping a girl and like it's like a lesbian, which is cool.
How old is she?
She's like...
I kind of like that.
I think she's like 48. but she...
You guys are thinking about this.
Wait,
didn't she give an interview to someone?
Yeah, she was like, they asked her...
It was a guy and someone was like, he's...
I mean,
this is
edgy for her. She was like...
She's a pop star.
I know, but she was like a child pop star for like, she was forced. So I think
was
now
like
she's...
the Wiggles.
Now she's like out and proud. She's like... fully les and just like, but she gave an interview and they were like, what inspired you to do this new album? And she goes, well, you know, because she talks like that. She was like, I was talking to my team and I was like, I want to come up with a new genre. And they were like, what's the new genre? And I was like, gay pop. And I was like,
all pop is gay pop.
All pop is gay pop. But now everyone's like coming for her and being like, who does she think she is? Like, she didn't invent gay pop. And like, and I'm like, oh God, she's 20.
Give it a rest.
She's a baby.
Let her live.
Let her have like a psycho ego moment.
Yeah.
Like, she's had to wear like a side ponytail. She drives around in a
car. Pony.
She has to drive around in like a Tesla with her face on it. Like, she's fucking, she's been a prisoner. Her mom and her family is like.
I know, it's like, do you think this person has ever had time to Google anything? She's literally been like, people are cracking the whip, forcing her to like perform children's songs with a tight side pony for the past like 9 years. She probably has never heard like a gay pop song.
No, and her mom is like most definitely like forcing her into like subjugation of like child stardom. I'm like, let's give some people some grace.
Yeah, we need to give JoJo Siwa a shred of grace.
And when people come out, when they're in like, when they're pink clouding and they're, you know, new gay hate, like pink haze, like,
mm-hmm.
They're psychotic. It's like, let a new gay person like think that everything's going to be fine.
Let her think that she invented a new genre of music called gay pop. What is the harm in that?
Yeah,
is the harm in letting a little lesbian have a win?
She goes, you know what? She goes,
I was sitting down with the executives and I said, I want to do something different.
It's like that Debbie Ryan interview where she's like, I went to the Disney executive and I said, I want to make history. Remember that?
Yeah.
And that's what this is. She went,
I sat down with the executives and I said, I want to make a new genre of music.
Gay
and they
pop.
Said, what? And I said, gay pop.
You sound like Danny DeVito's The Penguin.
That's what she sounds. She literally sounds like this ashtray of a woman.
Does she smoke? Does she rip cigs?
No, she just has like a deep, rasky, husky voice.
I and like it's, that. And,
no,
she's too young.
She's iconic and she's a good dancer.
She better be.
She better be.
She's going to make that money.
She's going to make that money. That's what the mom says every night before she goes to bed. She goes,
good night, okay, sweetie.
But she goes, and she's like, and then she went and called her daddy.
Oh my God, I have to listen to that. What'd she say? I feel like, to me, JoJo Siwa is still like 14 years old. I don't see her as like an adult. She probably talked about that.
I
said, well, come day pop. You guys are thinking about.
This is what the outfit she wore on Call Her Daddy. Yeah, her. Ooh. Someone needs to get her.
Oh my God.
Intervention on her style.
Wait, the style is truly so bad.
She looks like.
Why is she doing?
She looks
Kiss?
Like John Leguizamo.
That's
in Spawn.
I dress like that as a joke in Vegas once.
She looks like John Leguizamo in Spawn.
I'm really unclear on this getup.
Yeah, I mean.
We need like a lesbian. We need a chic young lesbian to have a win.
2 years ago is when I started writing new music. I got out of my Nickelodeon music contract. I signed a deal with Columbia Records. Mm-hmm. Label has been amazing. And I started doing music. And honestly, we started off like pretty calm. Like okay. nothing like what's out right now. And then I got pitched this song, Karma. And it's the first word is, I was a bad girl. And I was like, oh, fuck, a good song. I was like, but I can't say that. I can't say I'm a bad girl. I'm not. I was 18, fresh off of my Dream the Tour. And I was like, I can't say. I sang Every Girl's a Super Girl last week. Like, I can't sing I was a bad girl this week. It doesn't work.
Her mind, she's limited. She has no life experience. She's only been JoJo Siwa and did that show with Tom Sandoval. And that's all she knows. She does not know anything.
Like a, she's like a complete like industry child.
Yeah.
Like she has no, her brain is mush.
She just knows labels this, labels that.
My team has been really good to me at Columbia.
Nickelodeon contract now with Columbia. Like it's
the Dream
not,
Now tour. Like, you
it's
know,
jargon.
It's jargon.
She's lived a life of jargon.
She's lived a life of like agent speak.
Yeah.
Which is like basically Asian speak is elvish.
It's so shocking when you see like a child talking like that, because she is like 20 years old. Is like, you're very young to be like,
yeah, you're a baby.
Yeah,
especially like when you're
talking like that since she was she came out of the womb talking like she was. I just ended my contract with the uterus and I crossed through the cervix and now I'm in a contract with life.
She goes, Columbia Records has been a great team for me so far. I just love them. I love them overall. I love my team. Like, she's very congrats to the whole team.
Yeah.
She's, and I'm just like, I wish people would just be like, give people a little more grace.
Well, it's also like, don't put so much weight in what this person says. Like, they don't know anything.
No, they're idiots.
Yeah. Like,
20-year-olds are literal buffoons.
Also, like, if you're going from being a child star to an adult star, you have no concept of the world.
Also, I guess that song where she's like humping the girl on the beach, mm-hmm. That song was like a demo recorded by another pop star like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Which happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now everyone's accusing her of stealing music. It's like, no one, that's not how it works.
That's not how it works. She said she got pitched a song.
Yeah.
People come to her and are like, do you want to sing this song that's already been written? Does this, like,
she goes, it speaks to me.
Like, how could she even write a song? She has no life experience. She has nothing to write a song about except getting out of a contract with Nickelodeon and, like, taking generals and like, talking to a lawyer and signing a new contract. No one wants to hear that song.
It's true. Her life experience is, like, signing a deal with Target.
Mm-hmm.
The Target CEO is
really tight and really to the side, picking out a bow and being like, hey, and then like getting paid $1 million for that, and then like buying a house and buying a car and like putting your face on the car
and buying a house for like your mom.
Yeah. And your mom being like, it's not enough. And you being like, fuck.
Your mom being like, it's never enough.
Mm-hmm. It'll never be enough.
I brought you into this world and you need to repay me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, okay, mom, I'll set a contact with Columbia. So like, give her a fucking break.
Yeah, leave her alone.
But also,
choose someone else to pick on.
I saw a TikTok of someone driving on Hollywood or Sunset down near Vine, and they got cut off by JoJo Siwa's car with her face all over it. And you see the Vanderpump Villa billboard in the distance.
Wow, emerging of all worlds.
And you just hear the person driving going, fucking bitch.
I still haven't watched Vanderpump Villa.
I'm not going to watch it.
It feels like a bridge too far.
It's too far for me.
I'm worried.
Wait, speaking of Bravo news, Monica Garcia's prego.
Well, that doesn't shock me. Doesn't she have four kids?
Yeah. But she has a mystery boyfriend. She went on the Vile Files.
She spilled the tea.
She spilled the tea, sis. She posted, speaking of driving and cutting off, she posted an insane video of the other day of her, what's her former assistant's name? Who she was doing Reality Vontees with.
Her, like, the best hair friend girl
that was like Heather's hair stylist. What is her name?
Fuck.
She was driving on a highway behind Monica and like trailing her and like going beep beep and like stalking her, and you see Monica and some gay driving, and Monica being like, film her, oh my god, she's so crazy, she's following me right now, and like you just hear her going fuck you, and like shout it. I have to find this video. It was,
I believe that Monica brought whatever that was on her damn self.
100%. But you have to watch this.
Reality Vontees feels like a lifetime ago.
I know.
I feel like I've grown, like I've aged 1,000 years since we Vontees'd.
I miss Vontees days.
Me too. I look fondly back on the Vontees era.
Wait, I have to find this video because it's truly, it's like serial mom.
What was that lady's name?
Tanisha,
okay.
Wait. Oh, fuck. It's on Queens of Bravo, but they blocked me.
Oh, damn it. Okay, wait. Let me try and go in. Is it on their Twitter?
Oh, no. That's actually the wrong video. Hold on.
Monica Garcia car chase.
Hold on. Oh.
Wait.
But I'm going to follow you back. I guess, why did they fire her? I need.
She might be back.
Where are the videos?
Let's look on Reddit.
You have to, it actually.
No, I need it.
You found it?
Ugh, no.
Hold on.
When did it come out?
Like this weekend.
Okay, I'm sure someone posted it in here.
Oh, this is it.
Look at her driving up on my ass.
She's driving
up. Get ready. Yeah. Okay. No.
Okay, sit down.
Don't make it obvious.
Monica probably stole her purse.
Record her.
Do you love the shouting?
Record her.
I believe
she's such a fucking like tattle.
This is gay. Call the police.
She's such a tattletale.
She also is like, I'll bet this is a frequent thing that happens to her, is someone fucking tails her and speeds after her screaming at her. Like, I believe that this probably happens to her more often than not.
I believe there was probably a good reason why Tanisha was following
Absolutely.
Her. I don't think it was just, she just decided to like chase after her and her gay. Like,
no.
Monica going, we're going to call the police. Record her.
Monica
She's
is
so
someone
LD.
Who gets themselves into these situations often.
Yeah.
I would say every day, probably, Monica's getting screamed at. She probably did.
She stole $20 out of her
she
purse.
She probably stole like $500 out of her wallet and then ran away. Like, Monica literally is like an unreliable narrator.
But this is so Monica, too, to just be like, it's so fucking like her to be broad daylight in the middle of like Utah on like a kind of chilly spring day being chased down by a good friend
former good friend at.
Who's screaming at you, honking at you, and you're like, where are your children? Sorry.
She's not only where are your children, but like this seems like my life isn't a good place to bring another child into the world.
When you're filming, when you have a tragic gay driving your car, and or you're driving your tragic gay and he's filming your former best friend in broad daylight who's chasing...
Who you ran a burner account with, called Reality Von Tees.
And she's chasing you down in the middle of the day on an empty highway road in the middle of Salt Lake City screaming obscenities at you through a closed window. Your life is not going well. And so you announcing that you're pregnant, love and light to you, like, congratulations. But, like, God bless that baby.
Honey.
Is that mean?
No, that's what I was thinking.
Can you imagine being 20 years old and looking back and seeing a video of your mom being chased down by her former best friend who she ran a burner account with? Right, like maybe while you were in her womb.
This history. I'm also just thinking of her eldest daughter, who will no doubt have another child to raise.
Do you think LD had something to say about that car chase?
Oh, I'm sure LD has a lot to say about everything. I mean,
I have empathy for Monica. I do.
I think she's a very damaged person who is like, I don't know if she's dealing with it, but I think she has a lot of damage.
But she seeks out chaos, and when chaos comes back biting, like just like you and your games that you played at TSA, when you go to war, they come back.
But the thing is like, I don't feel like I'm a person that gets declared war on often. Like every once in a while, like a war will occur, but that's like everyone's life. But Monica is a person. She's going to war every day with someone. Her life is a fucking battlefield.
Yeah, when you have like constant enemies and grudges,
the common denominator,
you are the problem.
Is you?
It's okay. Like once in a while, it's like it happens. Like someone you get into sit with someone, and it's like doesn't mean that you're like. Just sometimes it just happens. You don't get along with someone, and things escalate. But like, if Monica has constant enemies,
mm-hmm.
You are the problem, honey. You are the reason why you were being chased down by a screaming woman on a highway in the middle of the day.
She's probably pregnant during this chase.
But I love, call the police.
Call the police.
And then she did.
Monica.
Don't call the police on Tanisha.
Her baby daddy
She's
is apparently
what the fuck?
A 29-year-old guy.
Is he rich?
Hopefully. I would not be Monica getting pregnant by not a rich man. I would say, I don't understand what the point would be of having, isn't four enough? Why five?
She posted a video of her like pregnancy and out like doing the test. I don't know. Suffice to say.
She said she was on birth control.
Well, it happens.
It was an accidental pregnancy. It was a complete shock. They didn't plan on having kids. And then now, well, best of luck to you.
Speaking of kids.
Speaking of cursed children who are going to lead lives of stress, most likely.
Mm-hmm.
And whose innocence will be compromised on a daily basis thanks to the decisions of their parents.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy, Unique
Podcast.
Car Chases. The Valley of the Dolls. Brittany and Jax are at a farmer's market with Sherry.
There's not enough Sherry. We need more Sherry in the mix.
Sherry looks snatched.
Yeah.
Cruz is really cute.
All their kids are pretty cute.
And they're talking about the dramatic night earlier, the girls' night at Michelle's, where you see the flashbacks, but they do this weird thing where they have Brittany's voice filling in.
Kristen.
Like, dubbing. I don't like that.
No, me neither. I'm like, let's just do flashbacks. Like, give me just the raw footage.
Basically, Dodie said it escalated to a point where Dodie, in a drunken stupor, said that Janet said that Michelle is a racist and a Republican.
And I love that she said this at Michelle's house, who was hosting the girls' night at her house. So Dodie said that Zach told her that Janet told him
that Michelle
is a racist and a Republican.
And so Michelle is like really upset about this because mm-hmm. she's like, I'm Mexican and Persian. Like my father came from Iran, I think.
Yeah.
Like I'm not white. And so like I take racism very seriously and I'm not a Republican. So she's like, not that there's anything wrong with that, but like I'm not even a Republican. So it's like, I don't know why she said this.
Unclear.
And Jesse's like,
he's the worst.
He's
awful.
He's awful.
But I actively root for his like downfall. It will come, I'm sure.
I think Michelle's cool.
I like Michelle.
She's really pretty.
She's stunningly gorgeous. Yeah. I think that she should...
Their house is my favorite house.
She needs to divorce him and he can have the kid. Like, I just feel like... Right? She said that they had the bond. I think she should start over a new single free life in her beautiful house in the hills and he can take the kid and go. What I would do if I were her.
They remind us several times that basically I think they got pregnant like immediately.
Upon meeting?
Yeah. I think they had like a one night stand and then
they decided to get married and have a baby?
I think the way they tell it, I mean, maybe they're kidding, but like they fucked and then they always say, then we had the longest one night stand 3 years and 9 months later.
Did they say that in the next episode? Yeah. I haven't watched that one yet.
Yeah, they basically like...
So that's why, because I thought that they like dated a long time and then just decided to have a kid.
No.
And like, that's why they were like so
I think
not
they had an
the
unplanned
page.
Pregnancy. And then they were like, well, I guess we should just get married. I think it was like a knocked up kind of scenario.
Many Bravo celebrities are making a strong case for abortion.
Yeah. Well, they just banned abortion in Arizona.
Do you know that we're going to like, people need to watch these shows and pay attention because this is what happens when you don't get an abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Your life becomes hell.
This is why we should be a pro-choice
nation. This is why everyone should just have the option to get an abortion.
Yes. 100%. Because then you might have to parent with
Jesse.
Yeah.
I mean, this show is such good like birth control and also like it's hetero hell in such a new way. Like I'm just like this show watching it is making me like anti-marriage and anti-children even more than I already am.
No, it's like it's a good like motivation to be like ace.
It's a great motivation to just like do you. To
you
like
do you.
Live your life and like let your life be yours and yours alone.
So Michelle's like, well, I'm going to just like get to the bottom of this. So she FaceTimes Janet. I think Janet's iconic.
I love Janet.
She's a shitster and I like love her.
She's a shitster, but she's also like nice and also she's smart. So when you have those three things, you're millennials ahead of the other
millennials.
Ahead of Kristen, who literally is a lizard brain.
So she calls Janet and she's like, hey, did you say I was racist and a Republican? And Janet's like, no, what? And she's like, Dodie said that you said that I'm both those things. And Janet's like, I did not say that. I think she's lying.
So Janet says that she and Dodie were really good friends, but then she had to put up a clear boundary about a year prior and Dodie didn't like that. So now she's been on a fucking rampage trying to destroy Janet. Side note, they put numbing cream on my lip so I could get a lip flip and now it has migrated to all of my lips so I can no longer feel my mouth
in real time. This is happening
in real time now. It's like it started from just the edges to like full-blown lip and I tried to drink some water and almost just like poured it down my chest.
That's something these people all know about.
So Janet, yes, she's
Dodie was like, you want to fuck with me? I'll go to war with you. Because Janet was like, you freak me out and I need to have some space.
You're scaring me.
And Dodie was like, no, peace.
Janet was like, I can't have you around me while I'm growing a child inside of me, because your vibes are so stressful that like my child's gonna feel your terrible energy, your Jabberwocky energy and your BPD nature is gonna like by osmosis infect my child. So I need you to stay at least 500 feet away from me.
So she thinks this is part of like Dodie's like chaotic plan to like punish, to take her the fuck out. Kristen is moving again. Kristen has literally...
Kristen is a nomad. You know, some people are like, I'm a digital nomad. And Kristen is a digital nomad in her own apartment building.
Kristen is literally nomad land.
She's never not been on the move.
She's literally Frances McDormand in...
But in one building.
She's moving. I've watched now. I think she's moved 7 times during the course of VPR.
She's always moving.
She's always fucking moving apartments.
She's
always
a fucking gypsy. She's her words, not mine. Her tattoo, not mine. She's Stevie Nicks. She goes, Stevie is a gypsy. I'm a gypsy. I'm on the move. I love her. The psychosis it takes to move from one vertical blind apartment into just another one in the same building is...
She is a full-on vagabond, and she's a transient, and she and Luke
she goes,
are...
Rome if you want to. She's roamed down the hall just into another apartment.
She's on blind... the road. She's like, these people, the only ones for me are the mad ones.
She goes,
mad to live, burning like bright, bright, bright.
Pack up the van, it's time to candles. Pack up the equipment and hit the road. And she walks down the hall into a new carpeted apartment.
But the apartment, she's like, for $73 extra, I get more space. I'm like, honey. Luke's helping her.
Not money well spent.
He's like, I can't wait to christen the new place. And fuck. And she's like, yeah, fuck yeah.
And she goes, Luke and I, we have a drawer full of sex toys. And I literally shuddered. I am truly so sex positive. But when it comes to Kristen and Luke's drawer of sex toys, I am disgusted by that.
Yeah.
Is that mean? I feel bad. But I just am like, I don't want to
know. No, her apartment is just like... Everything about her is just like I love her on my television, truly, but I'm like, and I root for her, but I'm also
the
like
milker.
I root for the I called the last
she's
episode
a new,
the mad do you know new... I called the episode the mad milker of the San Fernando Valley.
Kristen is just like setting up shop
to milk.
She was $73. I have more room to milk. Rock and roll.
So Dodie's like, basically, Janet's lying, and she said this. She said that Janet... Okay, she said that... This is a very confusing fight that comes from this, but this, like, he said, she said, it's truly... She claims that Janet was at dinner, or out to lunch with her, and she said that months prior, she was at dinner with Michelle and some other person. Jasmine?
Janet was at dinner with
Michelle,
and the Don't Say Gay.
Don't Say Gay got brought up last summer. It was big, and Michelle said something like, I feel
like save the children.
She was like kind of, she's like kind of cute. Like this, it's to save the children from the groomers. And Janet was like, no, no, no. Like that's not what's actually happening. And then she claims that Janet went harder and said she was a Republican. But Janet, when we get to her later, she's like, no, I just think she got fed some algorithm once and then was getting like Republican or like hard right slanting news, like libs of TikTok about like gay predators preying on children.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she got confused. And that's what Janet says. But Dodie says that she went hard, called her racist.
She said, like, watch out for her. She's a Republican and probably racist. And then Dodie. Well,
it's
Janet said that to Zach. Then Zach said it to Dodie, and he was like, please don't repeat this. But Dodie said that...
No, Janet said that...
No, Dodie said that Zach told her, and he goes, don't repeat this, girlfriend. But when he said that, Dodie thinks that he didn't mean that because he told it to her because he wanted her to light a fire. Dodie basically is... very brain damaged by her borderline personality disorder, and it runs her entire life. And it's actually kind of comforting to see that not much has changed with this one.
And as you see, her years of hard boozing.
They're catching up.
But she, she's basically like, I'm standing in my truth that Janet said this. And I will not be, like, gaslit. And I was gaslit enough. And we see, like, cuts of her past where, like, everyone was, like... And she's like, I will stand in my truth. And that is that this is what was told to me.
She's picked the hill that she is ready to die on.
I think there's truth in the middle.
I could see someone talking shit and being like, she said this. Like, what kind of Republican, like, racist... Like, when you're just talking shit. Which Jody says, like... She was like,
Jody.
Jody.
Janet?
Jody. Jody. Jody.
Jody Foster.
D-J-O-T-E.
Yeah.
Jody says that like a lot of people were shit talking before filming started.
Right.
But she's the only one. Now she's turning into she's the only one brave enough to say anything.
Well, I just read last night that I think Michelle said that, or one of them said no one speaks to Jody from the cast.
Yeah, why would they?
Like, everyone, like, she's the complete odd man out, which is sad.
Wait, in, like life
post-filming?
Now?
Yeah, like, none of them speak to her.
Yeah, she's a fucking crazy person.
Yeah, I know.
Jody's also the kind of person that gets, like, iced out and no one speaks to. Is she pregnant? She would say, thank God that, I mean, yeah, let's take a beat. Danny and Nia's condo also makes me really sad.
Yeah.
The exterior of it, I was like, no.
Nia is going to do like a Miss America like appearance on a cruise, which just like.
That is.
She's like, being the winner of, is it Miss USA or Miss America?
Unclear.
Being the winner of Miss America, I get to do cool things like make appearances and get paid.
I like that she's Southern.
I know. So I will be going to a cruise to see and the opening of a new cruise ship. That means my husband will be left behind with the babies. Her babies are really cute.
They're cute.
Those twins.
She's just a milk machine.
She's a milker.
Literally, when you have a baby, you become just a cow.
Twins.
And then when you have twins, you basically, like, her husband, like, guides her into a stall and, like, hooks up a milk machine to her. And she spends all day just getting milk. Because do you know how much milk it takes to, like, feed a human? It's crazy.
They're
just putting machines. You're literally a cow.
They're too normal for this show.
I like them, and I'm gonna choose, until they prove otherwise, I'm gonna choose to believe that they're like gorgeous and beautiful and nice, and they're a well-meaning, like, good Christian couple.
I think they're well-meaning, but I think they're tinged with something that makes me feel like,
we'll find out. They insinuated in like the teaser or something that he like is a different person when he drinks.
Ooh.
Which tracks.
Yeah, I get.
He must have some demons as a child star.
She,
as a Nickelodeon child star.
She gives me like Al-Anon. Jax's Tavern, I just wrote, I'm sick that he's doing this. But he's smart because he's like, I didn't invest a lick of money.
This, I think there's a Rocco's in Studio City. And this is built on the back of Rocco's, so it shares a kitchen. So it basically is just like
Rocco's,
but like another like wing establishment. Yeah. So like if you're like
Lance Bass.
I'm not gay. Yeah. You're like, I'm not gay, but I do like shitty food. Then you can go to Jax's.
I just wrote, I'm sick.
He goes.
Jax is interviewing.
He walks into his like. Why does it look like
It looks
like the interior Shakey's. Of Hateful Eight.
It looks like Shakey's, the pizza place.
Is Shakey's like all wooden on the inside?
It's like dark. It's
made of just wood.
It looks like Pizza Hut.
He goes, what do you guys think of that wall? Brutal, honest opinion. And it shows this wall, full body recoil on my part.
But he's, unlike the Toms, he's like, I didn't invest any money.
Because I have just partners.
So I was like, okay.
Well, it shows.
It shows, but it's also like, He's
cash grabbing, but I guess doing it the right way.
And then they interview like bartenders, and this
the first woman
is like a bona fide, sorry to say, but like she's a like, I'm like, This queen walks in and she's like,
so overqualified. I know that job.
She comes in and she's like, here am I. I have like everything's broken down.
I pray she finds employment elsewhere.
Yeah.
That was so mean of them to put her in this situation.
She came right in and she had a resume and a cover
she's
letter.
Like, I am SO certified. I am blah, blah, blah. Like,
I'm CPR certified. Like,
the list. She needs to like work at a real restaurant.
She seemed like a nerd. And then they had these like.
She was just like, this is not the kind of place that would appreciate your like skill. This isn't the kind of place that's looking for like skilled wait staff or like career waiters or like people who know what they're doing.
Yeah.
This is like the Vanderpump Rules universe. So like you're actually at a disadvantage having this job.
Fly free.
Much better off like going elsewhere to a like real restaurant.
Michelin star.
Yeah, just like you're better than this.
Then they bring in these two other people, and Jax is just like, he's like that. He's like Beetlejuice.
They bring in like a braless lady, a braless girl named Miranda, who just goes, "Hey," and Jax is like, doesn't even ask her a question. Then they bring in just like a fucking tatted out Kat Von D type, and Jax is like. I know, like, she looks like the kind of girl, just what we're looking for. He wants, like, a sassy, like, tatted lady behind the bar.
He wants a woman that's gonna, like, punch someone in the face if they're, like, acting up.
He wants, like, tavern bad.
Yeah.
So he was... Stephanie, the tat lady, she goes, I actually worked in the medical field for 15 years before this. I was like, what? And Jax goes, well, that's great.
Jax interviewing people... is like a nightmare to me.
I'm like,
15 years.
Did she work what through were you like? COVID and the medical field? And then you were like, I've had a fucking enough
maybe.
Of that. You got like 20,000 tattoos and then decided to go bartend at Jax's Studio
That's,
City.
I had that thought. I was like, in my head,
COVID
I'm like,
ended her
she
medical
saw
career.
Too many people die and was like, I gotta get out of here. They don't respect our kind anymore.
This is the future if we don't like
take care of our healthcare workers.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're all gonna quit and become bartenders at Jax's Studio City.
Yes,
we're gonna lose all of our nurses to bartending jobs at like Vanderpump adjacent restaurants if we don't watch the fuck out.
Not save the children, save the nurses.
Save the nurses
for real.
Well, that's great.
Well, that's great. He's like, I like her.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, Princess Diana. But that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Disintel, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Disintel on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Nothing gives me naked confidence like being freshly showered, hair blown out, makeup on, putting on my favorite perfume.
Nothing gives me naked confidence quite like getting my parking validated at Equinox after a well-earned workout.
A very close second would be Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Unlike certain other deos, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to deliver outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet.
And yes, even your privates. In fact, it was patients' concerns about private part odor that originally inspired the OBGYN who invented Lumi.
Flash forward 6 years and her game-changing whole body deo has earned over 300,000 five-star reviews from people who love feeling confident from head to toe.
New customers get $5 off Lumi's starter pack with code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. I love Lumi because as a gay man, you need to have your taint smelling fresh as fuck. So with one roll of Lumi, I'm ready to get out there and own the world.
What I love most about Lumi is that it's multi-purpose. It saves its customers money because you're not buying all these different products for different body parts. You can just boil it all down to one super product that takes care of any of your odor issues.
Whole body deodorant with Lumi, seriously safe to use anywhere on your body. Your pits, your underboobs, thigh folds, belly buttons, butt cracks, vulvas, and feet.
It's clinically proven to block odor all day and control over up to 72 hours.
And it's baking soda free and paraben free.
Plus, it's pH balanced for safe use below the belt.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash and deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with the code SUP at LumiDeodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use the code SUP. Are you ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos, and you will rise to the top of the heap, and you will be deified and worshipped for the rest of your days walking this planet.
Because as anyone who has siblings know, that's the only goal on Mother's Day is to be the favorite.
And if you're an only child, you're still competing with all your other extended family members, and it's important to wage a war and come out on top.
If you're an only child, you're also at war with yourself.
So what you can do is get your mother or the preeminent mother figure in your life an Aura frame. You load it up with photos. It's literally the easiest thing to do. And I know that you might be thinking, ew, digital frames are bleak, but I'm telling you, this Aura frame is chic.
And the best part is it has unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, so you can keep updating your mother or mother figure's frame with new photos. So it's the gift that keeps on giving and uploading.
I gave my mom an Aura frame, and she had resisted for so long because she's truly anti-technology, like barely even understands right. How to FaceTime. And I said, just let me. And I set it all up for her. I plugged it in. I fired up the app. I preloaded pictures on it, and now she's so into it that she figured out how to preload pictures and even runs it from her app, which is truly saying a lot because she refuses to download apps. She thinks everyone's spying on her, stealing her data, and the fact that I was able to break through and she literally loves this frame, like loaded it up with pictures of her cat, I was like, we did it, Joe. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off, plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's AuraFrames.com. Use code SUP at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Brittany and Dodie meet up at a hot restaurant.
And they're talking, and Brittany's like, yeah, I'll have some horchata. And they go outside and she goes, hey, girlfriend. And then she's like, I'm so upset. And Brittany's like, what's wrong, Pickle June?
Dodie's like, it's hot out here. And Brittany goes, how are you feeling? That girl's not really took a turn. Obviously.
She goes, obviously, that was a bad night.
And then Brittany tries to talk some sense into Dodie, but it's not happening. And then Brittany's like, okay, we need to call Zach because you keep saying Zach said this to you and he maintains that he didn't. So, like, call his ass up.
Kristen goes, why would I repeat something that has to do with racism if I didn't actually hear it? Of all the people, why would I?
She goes, why would I use the R word unless it was something that was said to me? And I wrote, honey, that's not the R word.
No.
It's not.
Brittany goes, obviously.
Obviously.
She's like, she goes, obviously we should call Zach right now. Come on, Junebug.
She goes, hi, honey.
Hi, honey.
Hi, and Zach's honey, like, hey. You.
And she's like, we miss you so much, honey. Why don't you tell Kristen what let's lay this all out, get it all down, obviously. And then Dodie's like,
she said that. And Zach's like, she goes, you told me she said that, Zach. I know that you're lying to me. And he's like, Kristen, like, I didn't do this.
He's like, I didn't say that. Like, you just said that. I think probably what happened is, like, they were talking shit about Michelle. Janet said, like, oh, she's probably, like, a Republican. Then Zach said, Janet thinks she's a Republican. Then Kristen, when she felt like her feet was to the fire, she said, you said she's a Republican and racist.
Yeah.
And then it turned into something else. But I'm obsessed with Kristen being like, why would I, of all people, given my history, start throwing that word around? It's a horrible word. No one likes that word. It's a horrible thing to have that word associated with you. I'm like, babe, like, that word is not the problem. Your actions are the problem.
And then
it's more horrible to be racist than to be called a racist.
She doesn't agree with that.
She's like, the R word has changed my life. She's like, how dare they call me the R word? I've never been an R word in my life. And now I'm known forever as an R word. And it hurts. And Brittany, I will accuse others of being the R word. But goes, I would never bring up them being R worded if they didn't R word me first.
She goes, oh, she goes, I can tell you're upset. You're more sour than a barrel of pickles in the hot June sun. And she goes, all right, love you, baby. Miss you, honey.
Miss you, honey. We'll call you later.
We'll call you later, honey.
She goes, so, Kristen, what you gonna do?
And then
Kristen's like, I'm standing my truth. I'm the only one who'll be brave enough to say what's happening.
And then Brittany goes, obviously.
Obviously.
Michelle and Jesse have a life coach session with this guy who is really hot. And
it felt like a porn setup.
I know. It felt like a cuckold. Like,
it was going to be a 2-on-1 Eiffel Tower situation. Like, the way they were even sitting, I was like, everything about this is like high end porn.
She had more sexual tension with the life coach than with Jesse. The life coach was hot.
He was hot.
He's like, all right, I'm going to fuck your wife now in front of you.
Yeah.
And you have to watch.
He coached like a couple we knew and their relationship got a lot better. Yeah. Because he came in and fucking piped down the wife in front of her husband.
And made him cry.
Yeah. And cried and he begged for forgiveness. And then they had a happy life afterwards.
But I was like, what makes this guy qualified? Like, who does he have? It's pray tell. Like, please show me his credentials.
No need.
He just like, I honestly don't really want to talk.
This is LA vibes.
I don't want to talk about it.
This is LA vibes because you can just be a life coach in LA and like become a couples counselor.
Yeah.
And be like going into their house and having like sexual tension with the wife.
He basically, and the husband a little, mm-hmm. He basically says like, she's like, I'm not attracted to him. And he's like, I'm not attracted to her either. And he's like, all right, good job, guys. And then he leaves.
Well, like she's like, and I think this is pretty common, but like when you're in a partnership with someone and they're not doing anything, they're not helping you, like they're not like contributing, the last thing you want to do is like fuck them or fuck with them. Like you're just like, I'm repelled and I'm done. Like that's very common, I think, in like relationships. Yeah. Like, and especially like straight relationships where suddenly you're just doing everything and you're like, this incompetent fool is like, not like I'm like essentially alone in this relationship.
He didn't help her once.
Yeah.
And like,
you stop wanting to fuck people that don't help you.
And he seems like shocked by it.
He's like, so if I do, like, I'm trying to think, like, what can I do to, like, if I do that, like, does it guarantee that you'll fuck me? And the life coach is like, now you're just looking at it transactionally, and that's like not what it's about. And Jesse's like,
And he's like, here, come here, let me show you. And then he skull fucks Jesse.
Yeah. He goes, and then he like eats Michelle out for like 2 hours.
And he goes, all right, guys.
Marriage hell.
Yeah. So Janet talks about how like Michelle said, don't say gay laws protect children. Janet was like, no, girl, I think you're being brainwashed. Blah, blah, blah. Like, this isn't how it is. Like, you know, we love gay people here. Blah, blah, blah.
She goes, this is California. You might want to keep that quiet.
But I was also like, okay, there's a misconception that LA is like super liberal, and it is in a lot of ways. But like, there's a part in the next episode where Zach's like, this is LA. If you're Republican, like, you
he
better.
He says that in this one.
He goes, if in LA, if you're Republican, like, you better, like, it's social suicide. And I was like, really? Like, I'd say like half of LA is Republican.
Yeah, but I think like Republican people hang out with each other. I don't think you can be like openly conservative.
Yeah. No, but I just think like LA is way more like, people are like way more creepy than you think.
Well, people
about like being close-minded. It's more conservative here than people think. No? No?
Yeah, I think so. But I think that it's like behind, it's like hush-hush.
That's what I'm saying. I think it's like very, like OC is like outright right-wing, but like LA is like behind closed doors.
Well, like really rich people.
Yeah.
Like it's in their best interest to be conservative. Because of like tax purposes. Right. And there's lots of really rich people in LA.
No, I know. But it's just funny.
Like, and like a lot of old people. I think the older you get, the more conservative you become.
Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Michelle and Jesse are hosting a Capri themed dinner.
Capri?
Capri. Jesse loves Capri.
That made me, I said, I don't ever want to set foot in Capri.
Jesse says that it's their favorite place to go. They go every single year since they've been together, and they love the island of Capri, and it just feels like they're home away from home. And he goes, you want to go to Capri? You want to see where billionaires leave their boats? That's where you go. You go to Capri. I was like, oh, you are...
Because he's just trying to like make deals and like sell real estate. I'm like, this is horrific. Like, I was like, cross Capri off the list.
He goes, you go to St. Bart's in the winter and you go to Capri in the summer. I was like, you're a fucking tool.
You suck.
But they're having a giant like sunset, selling sunset style listing in the hills. They're hosting a Capri themed dinner. A Buca di Beppo room.
They're very Buca di Beppo.
It's very Capri room at Buca di Beppo.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone's getting ready. Everyone's getting in their best Capri finest. Jax wears white pants.
He was Capri. Capri bands are the closest I'm getting to Capri. It's the closest you're fucking getting to.
And Brittany goes, oh, obviously.
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 They're like, obviously.
Brittany's like the,
obviously.
He goes, that's as close as you're getting to Italy.
These Capri bands are as close as you're fucking getting to Capri. Oh.
Obviously.
He's a great, what a great guy.
I love, though, this, like, husband act of, like, telling the, like the husband that, like, holds the purse strings tight, being like, that's all you'll ever get, like, to the wife. It's, like, so antiquated and stupid, but, like, Jax loves it.
Tony.
Jasmine is my queen, my bisexual New Jersey queen.
I know, I loved the New Jersey fact.
She's like stunning.
Yeah,
I'm obsessed. So she's dating a girl who grew up in her hometown, and she's like bisexual and live, laugh, loving.
She's bisexual. She's with a woman now.
You're with a woman now. So they're driving over with Zach, and he's just like, shit's like, gonna hit the fans.
He's like, what's gonna happen in this dinner? Dodie is a bitch. Stay tuned.
Zach also, I saw that he confirmed that he's not wearing a wig.
Who thought that he was?
A lot of people.
He just has like fabulous hair.
Yeah.
I love that.
I kind of like Zach.
I like Zach too.
He's fun.
I think anytime, like,
obviously,
any chance that there is to get like a gay in the mix, yeah, on one of these shows, it's so fucking rare that like you put any gay in there, I'm gonna like them.
Yeah,
obviously.
Obviously.
So they get to the dinner. Kristen walks in with Luke and she goes right up to Michelle and she goes, oh my god, I've never seen you glam. And I was like, oh, Kristen, that is not... Because Michelle is like, she's ready to take her down that night.
Kristen's like, you're so beautiful. You're beautiful. Let's hug. Like, oh my god. She goes,
can we talk?
I'm sorry, we need to talk. Can we talk? I'm really sorry.
Michelle goes, I'm not really ready just yet, but we can.
It's also like, Kristen, just like, read the fucking room.
Yeah.
I need to know, like, I need like a Neuralink implanted into Kristen that transmits her train of thought into like the universe,
yeah,
so that I know what she's thinking at all times. Like, anyone with a shred of sense would be like, let me not go straight up to the host.
Mango,
come here.
Let's see if he comes.
Mango, come here, baby. Come on. Come on. Come on. Hey, come on.
You're amazing at getting him to do this.
Come on. You know what?
He never has done it one time.
Come here.
There's never been a time where you've said, come here, and he's come to you.
Come on. Yes. See, he's coming.
Oh, good boy. Maybe he just thought there was like an obstacle. Yeah. He had to figure out how to walk.
Obviously.
So they're all getting in, and Kristen's like already, Kristen's somehow already like wasted. And she goes, yeah, she goes, you look so glam. She goes, I want to fucking talk to you.
Let's fucking talk.
And Michelle's like, no.
Michelle's like, I hate you so much.
Not yet.
So they all sit down for this dinner.
And it's like, people are enjoying themselves. It's a beautiful view. What? Nothing. And then all of a sudden, the bombs start flying.
Janet, well, Kristen also is acting like nothing is wrong. Like, nothing even happened. She's like, laughing. She's like, being like, is that corn over there? Like, talking to her boyfriend and being like, and everyone else is like, we hate this person. She's like a walking red flag. She like called my wife like a racist Republican, and here she is acting like everything is hunky-dory. Mm-hmm. We're scared of her.
Yeah, she's like, she's literally going,
like, what is going on in her head? Does she think everything's fine? Or is she so stressed out that she's then acting like this because she's so stressed out?
She's like, we're a friend group. We love hard. We live hard. We fight hard.
She goes, I'm just being brave and I'm being honest about what was said. And if I have to say the hard things, I'll say them.
I think Kristen thinks like she's like, no matter what I say, like I'll always be come back with like welcome arms to this group. And like, she doesn't realize that like...
You can't just be out here calling people that are hosting you at their house like a racist Republican. You can't just like throw that out there and then expect like peace and happiness.
So they start getting into it a little, Michelle and Kristen. And Kristen just like refuses. Michelle's basically like, this isn't true. Like, I take this very seriously because I've dealt with racism in my life. Like, my father escaped a country because of religious persecution. Like, I'm, you know what I mean? Like, and I just need you to tell me that you made it up and just say sorry and we can move on. And Kristen's like, no, girl. She's like, I can't. I have to stand on my truth. She goes, this is what it was said. And she Michelle's
Zach
like,
Zach said it.
Zach said it. And Zach keeps going. And they keep like saying all this stuff. And meanwhile, like Jasmine at one point is like, this is so weird for me.
Jasmine must be like, why am I here right now?
She's like, why am I here listening to these like white people
she's
talk about?
She's kind of like the tokenized casting person.
Well, like, she's like, she's kind of brought into it at one point. She's like, this is weird for me because I've actually experienced it in my life, obviously. And like,
obviously.
Because and like,
obviously.
And Kristen's like kind of trivializing it here.
Well, it's like weird to throw around like accuse people of being racist and then arbitrate the racism accusations around someone that has experienced racism
and has like an experience that you can never know or like begin to like understand.
Yeah. And then you're just trying to prove whether someone's it's like who cares if you call someone racist or if you get called racist, like that's not that big of a deal because the bigger deal is actually being racist. Like, if you have racist behavior, then that, like, what Kristen did was racist.
Yeah.
So that behavior is far worse than ever being called a racist. Like, who the fuck cares if someone calls anyone a racist?
But yeah, she's saying, like, she's...
So they're sitting here having this level of a conversation about... I can't believe you called me this thing when it really is like
there's bigger issues.
There's the issue is actually people being racist towards other people.
But she doesn't get that.
No, Kristen. And then you just see like the level of like comprehension around her own past is one of being like, I was branded a racist and lost everything. And now like, to have it brought up again is the worst thing that could possibly happen to me. It's like, girl, you're so missing the point. It would far more behoove her to be like, I did something really racist and I like fucked up hugely.
And I had to like learn from my error and see why I was racist.
Yeah, just being like, yeah, I did something really racist and it was really wrong. And now, and like, but I feel like her level of understanding is still so surface that that's the reason that this whole thing is starting anyways, is because she now views it as like somewhat like justice or like corrective to then accuse other people of being racist, but that actually doesn't do anything. And it actually makes her look even more racist and ignorant.
And tone, yeah, just like tone deaf and just like has not learned a single thing.
No, which is obviously like,
right.
obviously expected because she's Kristen Doty.
Well, at one point, the one time Jesse ever stands up for Michelle, we see is he screams. He like slams his hand on the table and screams and he's like, Michelle's gonna speak.
But then later she tries to speak and he goes, Michelle, please, and puts his hand up to her. I was like, you need to leave this house tonight.
Yeah.
Take the dog, leave everything else. Leave the kid. Like, truly let him have that kid.
Jesse then says to Kristen, well, didn't you get thrown off a show for being racist? And then Kristen goes, and you just see Jax and Brittany and they're like this. Brittany is just like ripping shots through this whole thing. Did you notice that?
No.
Every time there was a shot of Brittany, she's like just either going like this or going.
The thing about Doty too is just like, did you really expect this to never come up?
Yeah.
She's like, and now I have to relive that. And
that editing.
What?
You see Kristen being like, it was the worst thing that ever happened to me. Like, she's not, she never once says, I did this thing that was extremely bad and dangerous and potentially like
or
violent.
Even being like, I did something that was really fucked up that like I'm
ashamed
seeing
of.
Now, like that I'm seeing now, like seemed really racist. And even if it wasn't motivated by that, it still could have really fucked this person's life up. And like, just honoring that and being like, yeah, it was awful and like I feel bad about it and I just am trying to like move on.
But she's like being canceled is the worst thing in the world happened to me. I was canceled and like
and now having to relive it all over again.
She's like, it's gonna follow me the rest of my life.
Yeah, and it is gonna follow you for the rest of your life.
But she's not, again, she's not, it's like she's taking it now and then she becomes the victim in her own head where she's like, she's sitting at the table and like Luke's getting weird and like keeps standing up and like
threatening to fight
Jesse. And like, I'm like, you need to go back to Colorado.
Yeah, it's time.
Go back to your compound and like,
you guys do prepare not need for to the be end like, having a child together.
But Kristen's just sitting there going, and everyone, and then at one point, I think Michelle says like, or Janet, or one of them says like, or Michelle says like, look at you now with this look on your face. Like, you're like, I'm the victim. When she were like, you actually, what you did to me was like, you're victimizing me.
Yeah. I just can't believe her going out like that at like someone's house. Like, you're like, she ordered food for you guys and like had you over.
No, it's just like, it makes
at she... least do her the service of like talking shit about her elsewhere.
I love seeing her chouse on my screen.
Me too.
But there, I'm also like, she's almost too gone to be on. Like, she's almost like, should not be on television.
Well,
it's like not. She's
horrible
a liability.
Choice that she made to be back on a show.
Yeah.
Like, she should never have come back to TV. But unfortunately, the way her life has gone, what else is she going to do?
Yeah.
This is why she always, like, was especially tragic to me. And it was even more tragic when she got fired. Because I was like, oh, this person, like, doesn't have anything else that they can do with their lives.
Because like Stassi sucks, but she's like smarter than Kristen.
Yeah, Stassi sucks, but she has like fans that will like support her podcast and she like it, like knows how to make things work.
Kristen doesn't know how to do that.
No. She does not have
what
like,
is she what does she do for work? Her pod?
She does this show and I think does her podcast with Luke. But I'm like, the fact that it's all so dark. Like, she just does not have the tool set.
Yeah.
But, I mean, let's watch.
But you see her, like, she's, like, out of her depth with these people. Because it's, like, they all, like, in this scene, like where everyone has like a kid, like that, you know what I mean? Like, it's like you're, Kristen is not evolved to a point where she's like thinking about someone else's life before hers, you know? Does that make sense? She's just like, she seems very childish in this group. And like, I'm not saying any of these people are like emotionally adept, but I'm just saying like, even like weirdly, like Jax and Brittany seem more mature than her in this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, God, when they are making you look.
Kristen needs to like be around, I think, other single people.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's not good. I don't think that she should have a kid. I mean, I think that that's like a whole, like, would not be good for anyone.
Maybe
it would change her. I don't know. Maybe it would like change her whole choice. Life. Obviously, it's her choice. Obviously, it's no, her
I'm just,
choice.
I'm just saying, but I think like.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think like, yeah. I don't know what all her journey is into trying to get, have right. this kid or what her motivations are, whatever. I mean, I can't relate to being like, I need to have a kid right now and I'll do whatever it takes. I'll get a Colorado boyfriend and have him fucking knock me up.
But you wonder if it's because of all her. The people in her life,
yeah, are just feeling like left out and like, oh, I need to like cross this bridge that everyone else has crossed. Yeah. Like, she's very lost, and it's scary to be
lost.
You think it's scary to witness someone in their like early 30s, like when Vanderpump Rules started, being really lost? Like, it's actually scarier to witness someone in their 40s being really lost,
yeah,
because your life at that point is like half over. Oof. And you've just been lost.
You've been on Vanderpump Rules.
I know. It makes me really grateful to be like, to have the life that I have. And that's the reason, that's like how you know this show is doing its job, is because it fills you with gratitude that your life is not their life.
These shows make me realize that I want to live.
Yeah. And like, be grateful that you have like purpose and direction and like, satisfaction, that you're not drinking, that you're like
married,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I watch a show like this and I'm like, I'm so grateful that my life is totally my own, that I get that I have like autonomy over my whole life and like a beautiful pug, and I don't have to like put up with any bullshit if I don't want to.
Yeah.
And like, I am going to like go into my 40s feeling like very
not
sure
not
of
dotey.
Who I am, and very and extremely not dotey. And I've been like extreme dotey vibes in my past.
I honestly think her best bet is to actually, my hot take is she should stay with Luke and just move to Colorado. Like we said that last time, like she would do better. I think she
should
get away
from a head shop.
She needs to get away from LA and live.
She needs to go to Colorado where everyone like, she needs to go to like Boulder where everyone's white. Then she doesn't have to worry about like
offending people.
Yeah, she doesn't have to worry about like her racism past, her torrid racist past. She just can like go be around like white Colorado potheads and like live in the woods. And she can make like peasant skirts for a living. She could like sell peasant skirts and like crocheted tops on Etsy,
mm-hmm.
and make like weird jewelry. She could string some lanyards together.
It's rock and roll.
Yeah, she should go full Stevie Nicks. You see your gypsy. She should start James May and on Etsy and just like go fucking nuts. She could have a hemp store. She could just make hemp necklaces. She needs to have a head shop. She needs
dispatches
to have
dispatches from the head shop.
Yeah, she needs to just have like a fucking head shop that sells like incense. The Nong Champa, like just the most basic fucking like Haight Ashbury ass like tourist trap head shop that she just imports cheap shit from like India.
She makes a fortune,
and she just makes she makes enough to get by. She makes enough to pay 5% of the bills, and then leaves the rest to Luke, and then she can be like a full time mom. And she can bring her little baby, like she can dress him up in like little patchwork harem pants.
Have like a baby Bjorn.
Yeah. And just like play Stevie Nicks. She should have like a record shop. And every day she just goes, and it all comes down to you. When I need you.
The kids just sitting on the counter.
Maybe once, maybe twice. And she goes, oh, it lights up the night. And she just plays Fleetwood Mac all day and like interacts with like three customers a day. And like talks to them about like music.
And like,
she should sell like prints. Like she should have like she should make like Midjourney art of like Stevie Nicks.
She's like $20.
Yeah. And like sell it like in frames. Like I could actually think of like a great career for her that would take her out of the limelight and give her just enough money to where she can like buy her own booze.
Yeah.
And like, and then just be a mom.
Yeah.
And then not get on Luke's nerves, like not bring nothing to the table, but bring just enough to where the relationship works.
But right now,
she could wear like, a little pirate sarong around.
Oh, God. One giant hoop.
She could have a giant hoop and like an off the shoulder shirt and like a peasant skirt.
Esmeralda?
No, she goes full Esmeralda. She gets a peasant skirt and then she gets like a jingly jangly bracelet.
Stop.
Anklet with a little toe, with a toe ring that connects with the chain. She goes like this. She puts a ring in her nose and runs it to her ear. And she's like, hi, what's up? And like Fleetwood Mac's playing in the shop.
This is my kid.
This is my kid.
He's cool
as
shit.
It's a boy. His name is Steve.
He's cool as shit.
This is Steve. We call him Stevie after, you know. You see,
he's fucking dope.
You gypsy. And then, yeah, she gets out Midjourney.
Yeah, she's like a moderately respected member of the community.
She's have an art gallery that's just Midjourney.
And like dolphin art.
Generated dolphin art and Fleetwood Mac concert art. And she's just barefoot in the gallery.
Oh. The toe ring took me out. Sick.
And she wears like thumb rings. And she has a guitar in the store, even though she doesn't play.
And her kid works the register.
Yeah. And like she has like at the register, instead of like a tip jar, there's just like guitar picks. And it's like, take one, make some music.
Yeah. For vibes.
Yeah.
The vibe, it's called Vibe Jar.
She's a really good, like, white vibe person. That's like what Colorado, you know what I mean? That's like what Colorado, like certain towns in Colorado really excel in, is just like vibes, but make it white. And then that's just like a good place for, it's a good niche for her.
Mm-hmm.
She's not going to make any waves there. She could just start smoking weed a lot. I think she should maybe smoke some weed. But
she
not
does
too...
smoke. She talks about it in the second episode.
Well, actually, now I'm like, she shouldn't, maybe, because weed-induced psychosis is a real thing.
Yeah, I think she should be.
I think she should actually get sober.
But she can be that as a sober person. Just vibe.
Oh,
she can just get high on life.
That's the best kind of high.
And like once in a while, she can do some like nitrogen.
Nitrogen? Nitrous?
Nitrous, sorry. Once in a while, she can do a little balloon. Once a year.
Don't let fucking Kristen loose on the lot.
She could become.
I would do a balloon.
She's going to become like a nitrous queen.
I would do a balloon with Kristen.
Oof.
I'd love a Breaking Bad reboot, but it's nitrous centered.
And
it's Kristen up against like the nitrous mafia of like fish and dead show lots.
Kristen is the kind of person you meet at like 7 a.m.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're having like fun because she's just going there with you, but you're also like, I'm afraid of this person.
You're like, I never want to hang with her after this.
And if I see her on the street, I'm going to like hide my face.
Yeah. She like texts you like 40 times the next day, like telling you about her whole life story and like is so excited to meet and like keep the party going.
And you never,
you just kind of block her and
yeah,
like,
you never talk again.
Move on with your life.
Well, it's to be continued, and to be continued, we will.
Much to think about.
Much success to you. We're going to be coming back with another episode of The Valley, so fret not. And tickets to our tour are on now, guys. They're on sale.
Wait, who?
What? Yes?
Sorry, I think I'm getting... I don't know who's texting me right now, And it could be like a spam text.
Yeah.
Or I could have deleted their number. But did I have...
What does it say?
Okay, this is a new approach if it's a spam text. Sorry, that took me out a second.
What's the area code?
It's a 917, so it's New York. The last time they texted me, they said, "Hi, love, I had something come up for work tonight. Could we meet during this week, during the week this week?" And then they said, "Oops, sorry, wrong Lara," with like a heart emoji. And I just never responded because I was like, yeah, I don't know who this is and I'm not.
Yeah.
And then they just texted me, "Give me 10 minutes. I just have to call my mom real quick. Sorry."
Probably.
I think they have a different Lara.
Yeah.
But I want to know, who am I competing with? Which Lara am I competing with now?
I love this. This is like a full-on conversation, like months long.
We're having a months long where someone texts me and I'm the wrong Lara every time. And guess what? Doesn't feel good to be the wrong Lara.
Just let it keep happening.
Okay. I want to be like, who are you?
Wait for like a year's worth of these kind of messages and then be like, who is this?
Who is this, by the way? I'm going to wait until I'm on my deathbed and like I get the final text. And as I'm like breathing right before they're about to pull the plug, I'm going to go, who is this, by the way?
It was never me. I was always the wrong Lara.
It was always a lifetime of being the wrong Lara. Doesn't feel good.
Doesn't feel good.
But I'll die with peace. Who is this, by the way?
BTW. BTW.
Let's talk about our cult members. Let's go from the bottom to the top.
Jeffrey Pratima.
Ooh, RJ.
RJ.
Kim Lucas.
Kim Lucas.
Emily.
Emily.
Nick Sedaris.
Sedaris.
Patron of the
Patron
farts.
Patron of the farts.
Orlanda.
Orlanda.
Hillary.
Hillary.
Kit Moore.
Kit Moore.
Kathy West.
Kathy West.
Mariah Kay.
Mariah Kay.
Owsley Robinson.
Owsley Robinson.
Matthew Thomas.
Matthew Thomas.
Rogue Stanley.
Rogue Stanley.
Summer Moon Honey
Summer
Davies.
Summer Moon Honey Davies.
Timothy Shield.
Timothy Shalemi.
Shalemi. Sharon Baum.
Sharon Baum Realtor.
Realtor. Mike Earhart.
Mark Earhart.
Mary.
Mara of Easttown.
Mazel Tov. Jessica Hernandez. Lady Swan, which gives no fucks. Bridget Wasowski. Danielle McMillan.
Brittany Ryan Wise.
Rachel Knight.
Brooke Johansson.
Lucy from London. Sarah Elizabeth.
Gina Sapienza.
Emily Vaughn.
Rachel in Dublin.
DJ Brew Brew. Makeup Fresh.
Alex Delisle, my friend.
Guys,
thank you so much for your support.
So beautiful
obviously.
For you,
obviously,
to give us money for our podcast, obviously.
Buy tickets to our tour.
Get tickets to the tour. Oh my God, so many amazing shows on the horizon. You guys also have limited time. You have 9 days from now. It's April 11th, but this is coming out April 12th, but you'll have 8 days left to get a What in Tarnation shirt. And if you don't get it now, you'll never get it again.
You'll never get it.
And then I'm going to see, I don't know, we're currently right now, they're not going to ship international, but let me see if I can work some magic and then I'll let the international cuties know if we can ship it to them.
We got your backs.
It's a TBD. We might have your back, but we also might not. That's just the way it goes.
It's the American way.
Guys, we love you.
Mille grazie.
Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith-Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more stuff and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.